I invite your attention to the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. My text is verse number 15, but we shall commence reading from verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, and apart from his enablement there is no ability, because he counted me faithful, that is, not that he saw me to be faithful and considered me to be so, but rather he put faithfulness and accounted it to me. And he put me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, because he denied Christ and spoke ill things of him, and I was a persecutor, an opponent of those who spoke of Christ, and an insolent man, meaning that I was violently arrogant in my opposition to Christ, his gospel, and his people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love. When the Lord's grace comes to you, it brings faith and it brings love. And these are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Paul uses that expression about five times. Thrice in this first epistle to Timothy, once in his second epistle to Timothy, and once also to Titus. This is a faithful saying. And it is worthy of all acceptance. So, if you've heard this saying, receive it, accept it, it's the truth, it's worthy of your confidence, and this faithful saying is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. N. Burnett Magruder was a pastor of Redeemer Baptist Church of Louisville, Kentucky. From the days of her youth, the Lord planted that church under his ministry many, many years ago. In the early 1990s, he was quite advanced in age, had faithfully served that church as minister for many years, and he was leading the church in her search for his successor. My dear friend Todd Nybert resided about 70 miles away in Lexington, Kentucky, and suggested that the church contact me and consider me for her pastor. And so I received an invitation to go to Louisville and to minister to them as they sought for a pastor. My first time in entering that building was on a spring Lord's Day morning in the year of our Lord, 1993. Immediately upon entering the church's meeting house, I looked for the tract rack. I have observed that you can learn much about a church by looking at the tracts that are on the rack for distribution to visitors or even in the community. And the first tract that met my eye was one titled, "This Church is for Sinners." And I observed that the tract was written by Dr. Magruder, and that the church had recently purchased the building in which they were then meeting, and that this tract had been printed. This church is for centers and for sinners, and the members of the church had gone through the community, and this was their introduction to the people in the community. They went door to door, handing out a tract that said, "This church is for sinners." And I read that title, "This Church is for Sinners," and I thought, you know what? I just might be able to find a home here. And they meant it when they said, "This church is for sinners." They warmly received this chief of their sort, and they called me to be their pastor. And for the next 15 years, we rejoiced in God's grace for sinners. We fellowshipped in Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. And we delighted in the gospel of the one who saves none but sinners. Sinners. But I must here ascertain that you understand that there are distinctions among sinners. And I must ascertain that you know the sinner of whom I am speaking. Know first of all that all mortals are sinners in the sight of God. For the Holy Spirit declares that there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. The Holy Spirit declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So therefore, in God's sight, all are sinners. Amen. There are no exceptions. Second, observe that not all are sinners in their own eyes. The self-righteous boast in Jeremiah 2:23 and 35, they say, "I am not polluted. I am innocent. I have not sinned." They say that. They thereby deceive themselves, and as much as shake their fist in God's face and say, "You lie when you say all have sinned." We say we have not sinned. We say we have no sin. So although all are sinners in God's sight, not all are sinners in their own. But third, I want you to note that some who are sinners in God's eyes acknowledge themselves as sinners in their own eyes. And these are those who will echo the words of the psalmist in Psalm 106, verse 6. "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." The hymn writer Joseph Hart has rightly written, "Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. To such as these our Lord was sent. They are only sinners who repent. What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe?" Now listen very carefully to these words. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. These divinely blessed and self-confessed sinners are those to whom we would say, "This church is for sinners." I would hope that that declaration applies not only to that church in Louisville, Kentucky, but to this church here in Sylacauga, Alabama. This church is for sinners. Indeed, it does apply to every church of Christ. This church is for sinners. And we speak of those who say, not only does God recognize me as a sinner, but I see myself as such in my own eyes.
Amen.
Not all churches are for sinners. Many churches are comprised of self-righteous folks who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. In order to be accepted by such churches as that, you must make yourself as self-righteous and as self-holy as they themselves are. You may do so by getting into their baptistry or by observing their Sabbath or by doing their good deeds or this or that or the other. When you meet their qualification to become holy and righteous, then they receive you. Until that time, get away from me. I am holier than thou. But be advised that God says of them, these are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. And God despises them who deny they are sinners. In contrast to the church of the self-righteous is the church of sinners purchased by God's blood. God loved the church and purchased it, redeemed it with His own blood. This is that church of which the Scriptures declare that Christ loved that church and gave Himself for her. Why? Because she was a bunch of sinners in need of cleansing. And He gave Himself for her that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. But note this well. When He came to them, they were sinners. And He showed to them they were sinners. And He showed to them that He was a Savior of sinners, that He came into the world to save sinners. They acknowledged themselves to be the chief of sinners, and He saved them. And now they say to you, this church is for sinners. I'll give you three reasons. First of all, the God of this church is for sinners. Second, the Lord and Savior of this church is for sinners. And third, the gospel of this church is for sinners. The first point is this. The God of this church is for sinners. Now, how do we know? We know, first of all, because God demonstrates His love only for sinners. Only for sinners. Paul the Apostle declares in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for none but sinners. Sinners only. Furthermore, God hates self-righteous sinners. They that deny they are sinners, they are smoke in His nostrils, meaning they irritate Him, they agitate Him. They do to Him what smoke does in your nostrils. He despises them. He demonstrates His hatred of them by giving to them what they deserve. They want to be smoke in His nostrils. He will see that they get everlasting smoke for all eternity in the fire that quenches not. But the sinners here blessed by God are all who confess themselves as sinners, and they delight in knowing that God showed His love to me not when I was righteous, because I was not. But God saw me as a sinner, and God demonstrated that He loves sinners by sending His Son to be my Savior. This God says, I have loved you, sinners, with an everlasting love. Everlasting into
different directions. It is everlasting, all the way back into the past, when God in love chose in Christ sinners unto salvation, chose them to be holy and without blame, which means they were sinners because they had to be chosen to be without blame and to be holy. He set His love upon them before the foundation of the world in an unalterable, immutable, righteous, eternal decree, put them in Christ, and loved them before time began. In time, He finds these sinners and He tells them, I love you. I loved you with an everlasting love, everlastingly back into the future. And my love for you is everlastingly into the future. This love is eternal. These sinners whom God loves have been loved with an eternal love. A love that is going back into eternity past. A love that stretches forth into eternity to come. A love that transcends time. An eternal love. This love that God has for sinners. But God demonstrated that love. It is one thing to say, I love you. It is another thing to say, I can prove it. Young men often tell a young lady, I love you. And she'll say, how much do you love me? Oh, I love you so much. I would climb the highest mountain. I would swim the widest sea. I would cross in bare feet the hottest desert. I love you that much. Well, young man, you better hope she doesn't say prove it. Demonstrate it. Show me how much you love me. Do those things you said you would. But God proved His love. God took that which He loves more than anything in all this universe, His only begotten Son. And God demonstrated His love for this sinner and for all sinners like him in that He sent Jesus Christ to be my propitiation, to be my redemption, to be my salvation. God demonstrated that love in giving what was most dear and precious to Him, so that I could become dear and precious to Him as well. What a demonstration of love. Never doubt this love of God for sinners. And I say to you that this church is comprised of such sinners and is for them. Not only does God demonstrate His love toward us in the death of His Son, but God justifies sinners. And He justifies none but sinners. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised. And He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican or tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now note this very carefully. These were Jesus' words. The Pharisee prayed with himself, saying, God, now notice, he's praying with and to himself, calls himself God. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and particularly I'm not like this publican tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, if you look at that prayer very carefully, he prayed with himself, addressed himself as God. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only prayer in all the Scriptures where a man did not ask God for anything and was not disappointed at receiving nothing from God. Self-sufficient, self-righteous, self-holy. And this tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the
sinner. The Greek text has the definite article. I am the sinner. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified, and the other did not. What does this mean? God justifies none but sinners. None but sinners. Oh, if I can but find a sinner this morning. If I can but find, is there one here? I hope I'm not the only sinner here today. But if I can find a sinner here, I got good news for you. God loves sinners. God demonstrated His love for sinners. And God justifies none but sinners. And this church is for sinners. That kind of people. Second, observe that the Lord and Savior of this church is for sinners. Because Jesus Christ calls to salvation none but those who are sinners. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in Levi or Matthew's house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Notice, sinners came. Matthew had invited a bunch of people to his house for a feast to meet his new Savior. And whom did Matthew invite? People like himself. Publican tax collectors and sinners. And here's our Lord in a room full of nothing but vile, wretched sinners. Probably some harlots and those who frequent them. These are the people whom Jesus called to himself. And here they are in his presence. And he sat down with them. They sat down with him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors, publicans, and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Now I know something about what that means, because I'm a man. And men do not go to doctors unless they need to. And a man does not need to go to the doctor unless he requires an ambulance to take him. We are not sick. We do not get sick. And we do not need physicians. Our Lord said, they that are righteous have no need of a physician, but they that are sick do. They that are sick. Now go and learn what that means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if there's a sinner here today, I got good news for you. You are the only sort of person Jesus Christ will call. The only one. You're the only one who needs a physician. He's the physician. And he's making households. I call. He'll come. He'll come. The self-righteous have no need of mercy. Jesus Christ will waste no time calling them. He goes to those who are soul sick. You can find a description of them in the prophecy of Isaiah, first chapter, where the Holy Spirit declares that from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, you are one big mass of putrefying sores that have not been bound. Your heart is sick. You got heart trouble. You are an unclean thing, a leper. You're polluted, defiled, as despicable as you can imagine in God's sight. You are sick and nobody can help you. Nobody. Jesus Christ says, I came to save none but that sort. None but that sort. And he says that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Oh, is there a sinner here? Is there? I have good news for you. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to heal sinners. Jesus came to call sinners. And He receives them and eats with them. That was a contemptuous complaint of the self-righteous. This man receives sinners and eats with them. What kind of sinners? Let me give you a little catalog of them. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'd like to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So there are none of those sorts in God's kingdom. Now read the next verse. And such were some of you. Well, he pegged me in that verse. If you know him, he pegged you too. He describes you, and such were some of you. We know what it is to be a sinner. We know what it is to be washed, sanctified, justified, cleansed. And we say to you that this church is comprised of that sort of people who will not inherit God's kingdom, but they were that sort. And Christ sanctified them and washed them because His church is full of sinners. And is for them. Furthermore, He's a friend of sinners. And this also was a contemptuous complaint of the self-righteous against Jesus Christ. They were enemies of sinners. Remember, they say, do not come near me. I am holier than thou. If you get your concordance and look up the word holier, holier, it appears only one time in all God's Word. Only once. Holier. Many times you find the word holy. Many times you find holy, yes, it's always God. But only once do you find holier, and the only time you find it, God says, I hate it. I despise it. People who think they've got such progressive sanctification, they make themselves sinlessly perfect or else are working on it and make themselves a little holier than Christ made them when He saved them. And God says, I hate that. I hate that. It is a smoke in my nostril. But here's a friend of sinners. And He loves at all times. And a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend who epitomizes the truth that greater love has no one than this than to lay down his life for his friends. I want to be his friend. I want to be the friend of this one. And he says, I'm the friend of none but sinners. Only sinners. A friend of sinners. Well, this church is comprised of that sort and is for them. So we have observed that the God of this church is for sinners. And the Christ of this church is for sinners. Now third and last, observe that the gospel of this church is for sinners. That's our text. Every sinner saved by Christ will confess that this is a faithful Savior. I know it's faithful because it's been faithful to me.
This the faithful and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, only sinners, none but sinners, and He came to save each and every one of them. And He will. And He will. He will save every sinner He came to save. He says, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I say to you, O sinner, I say to you that you are never beyond the saving power of this Lord and Savior, this friend of sinners. And if you're a sinner, I have good news for you. Come, ye sinners. Poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And I know that to be true because this church is comprised of such sinners. And this poor sinners. We delight in the God who loves sinners and proves it. A Christ who is a friend of sinners and saves them. And we delight in this glorious gospel that Christ saves sinners of whom I am chief. And note well, these words were written by Paul the Apostle late in his ministry. He said, I am the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. Well, I know what that means too. Because I am the chief of sinners. But I've got good news. He saved this chief of sinners. He'll save all who confess themselves to be such. And this church is for sinners. Come to Christ.